1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to read verses 18 through 23. Again, I remind you, this book was written, and it tells us so many reasons it was written. One of the primary reasons I typically focus on is it was written that you might know that you have eternal life. And so this is super important. God wants you to know whether or not you have eternal life. And most people, I would suggest 90%+ of people, do not believe that's possible, because most people do not believe that Jesus is enough. Now, that's the way I say it. If you can remove yourself from salvation by your sin, by your disobedience, by your desire. So I want to be clear. If you are truly born again, you cannot be unborn. That's kind of like dumb, right? Like, I mean, I can't be unborn. And the same spiritually. Now, here's the key. Are you truly born again? And today, we're going to see that. Today is going to be just a great perspective to help you understand, are you saved? Most people in this room, you'd probably say, I am saved. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. And I love that. You ought to see evidence. You ought to see, you know, your desires of your heart. I talk to people sometimes, and they're so miserable because of their sin. I'm super encouraged by that. Lost people don't get too miserable with their sin until their sin catches up to them. Yeah, you wanna live a life of sin, it will catch up to you eventually, and it will bring consequences, and people regret consequences. But you see, the saved, if you're saved, sin bothers you if nobody knows about it. I know, but I want you to know this. It's a great passage. So this passage follows 1 John 2:15 through 17. Duh. But the key to that is it's talking about loving not the world. And that is the distraction for every believer in this room. Is who are we going to love? What are we going to love? Are we going to love the world? Or are we going to love God? Well, then it begins in verse 18. Let's read verses 18 through 23. It says, little children, this is the Apostle John. He's writing unto them. There's a term of endearment there. It's not really a term of, he's not putting them down by saying little children. He cares for them spiritually, and he just loves them and cares for them. Little children, it is the last time. Now, this was written nearly 2,000 years ago. So if they were in the last time, we might be in the final minutes. An old preacher said, listen, little children, it is the last time, and you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. And then inferred, that's why it's in italics in your King James Bible, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Title of the message, do you have an unction? And yeah, I'm okay if like 90% of you are like, I have no idea. You know, I mean, for me, you know, when I just read the word unction, okay, I'm going to take you back. Not many people, you know, how many remember? Conjunction, junction, what's your, you know, that's what comes to my mind, right? How many remember that? Oh, so some young people remember that, you know, so that's good. So they kept it going a little bit longer, right? Schoolhouse Rock, probably not the thing, you know, you want to raise your kids on, but I was, right? And so, but that's not what we're talking about. So we're going to get to it later, but do you have an unction? It'll be a testimony. Do you have Christ? I want you to understand that. We're going to have a great time this morning just walking through this passage. Right after he says, love not the world, I want you to see this first spot here. Let's get this on. First spot here. We are in the last times. We are in the last times. 2,000 years ago. You see, Christ can return at any time. And if 2,000 years ago they were in the last time, we are clearly in the last time and 2,000 years closer. God tells us in 1 Peter why he hasn't returned, because he's long-suffering, that he's not willing that any should perish. And so, Jeff, I know this is crazy, but this is just the way I do. You've never heard me preach before, but I always use people in my sermon, and I know that's the worst thing in the world for you, but just so you know this, I'm more nervous than you. I so want you to have a good experience, and I'm probably blowing it right now. But so it is, I don't even know what I was going to say to you, Jeff, now, so that's what's crazy. But where was I going? What? I don't even know, Ron. It wasn't in my notes. Oh, Jeff, this is where I was going. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't come back last year? You know one reason why he didn't? Is so that you might be saved. Isn't that good? It is, it's a joy. It's a joy. You know, I will tell you then, as long as Jesus hasn't come back, then maybe we ought to get with his work, right? We are in the last time. Now, he says two things here in verse 18. He said, little children, it is the last time, and you have heard that Antichrist shall come. That Antichrist shall come. Now, I want you to turn quickly to 2 Thessalonians. I don't have it in my notes. I wasn't sure if I was going to refer to it, but I chose to this morning as I was just refreshing myself. Well, let's just look at the Antichrist. There is going to be a man, and let's just let 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 describe this individual. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All the T's are together. They're in alphabetic order. Thessalonians, Timothy, then Titus. So the T's are in order, right? So I've confused people before. They're like, that's not. The T's are alphabetically in order. So if you find one of them, just remember Thessalonians before Timothy. Okay, all right, anyway. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the son of destruction, the son of damnation. Who opposeth this person that must be revealed, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? So the Apostle Paul was telling the church at Thessalonica, there's going to be a man that's going to be raised up, and he will exalt himself above God. He will sit in the temple, declare himself to be God. And Paul was warning the Thessalonians. John is saying that in 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. So you've heard that Antichrist shall come, but now he says something interesting. He says something interesting in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. He says, you have heard that Antichrist shall come. He says this, and now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. I want you to understand this, because I think, and maybe it's based on my preaching, but I think when I talk Antichrist, what you see is like, right? Some creepy looking guy, like, there's the Antichrist. No, I want you to understand this. Antichrist, the word actually in its root is similar, but not the same. Similar, but not the same. He said in 1 John 2:18 that nearly 2,000 years ago, there are many Antichrists. Similar, close, but not the real deal. You see, it's the same. It's the same today. Many Antichrists, but that doesn't mean they're like, come worship Satan, right? Now, the Antichrist, once he gets full control, he will reveal himself to be God. And Jesus warns folks in Matthew 24, he warns the Jews in particular, flee into the wilderness. When he sits in the temple and declares himself God, that's to be the time they flee. What's interesting is there's no temple today. I'm convinced there's going to be another temple built. But then the Antichrist will reveal himself for who he is. He claims to be God, and he's false. But I want you to understand this. It is, there are many Antichrists. I might get a little touchy, but somebody asked me this past Monday, and I've been pondering it ever since. I have a Bible study with a former co-worker and his wife, and they kind of bounce between here and Crossroads. We're so similar. But he asked me this question. So his wife's Roman Catholic, and they've come to a Baptist church, the only Baptist church that she's ever been to is ours, and Crossroads. So they asked me this question, starting our Bible study last Tuesday. They said, what's the difference between Crossroads, the Roman Catholic Church, and your church? And I'm like, oh God, please help me be kind. You know? Here's what I'd tell you. I've pondered it all week. In fact, I asked some of the men at the wedding on Friday night, and they've helped me really kind of just with my thoughts. I've listened to messages from Crossroads. Now, Crossroads, I'll tell you this. I've talked to more than 100 people over the years from Crossroads. I've not met one person yet from Crossroads that when I ask them, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? They all say yes, and I say, why should God let you in? Not one person, I'm telling you, over 100, not one person has ever been able to declare for me it's because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that Jesus is God. They don't have to say it exactly like this, but they say, my faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. Not one person has ever said that. Then I have watched some sermons from Crossroads. And I've seen a couple sermons that every single sermon that happens at Crossroads, they mention Jesus maybe more than I do. They mention Jesus, talk about 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 Jesus. You understand they serve mimosas at their services, right? Does it get you kind of alert and ready to go in the morning? Might need a little kicker. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. Right? And so I've thought about it. I thought, well, they talk Jesus. I've heard messages from them that I thought, well, that has the death, burial, and resurrection, and they outlined it pretty clearly. Similar, but not the real deal. I was talking to our men. I asked him a different question, but here's the conclusion. You know what, Crossroads? I've never heard them preach. Repentance. See, you must turn from the old way. You must turn from religion. You must turn from sin. You must turn from your own goodness. That's repentance. It's a change of mind, change of direction. You must turn from that and turn in faith to Christ. I finally got it. And guys, you helped me Friday night. Missing element at a church like Crossroads. Because I worked with people from Crossroads. I remember I traveled with a guy from Crossroads, and he would say, I picked him up one time to go to the airport, and he goes, I don't want to talk about Jesus this trip. That doesn't mean he's going to hell, but I will tell you this, it is a little bit of indication. Do you want to talk about Jesus? Ron helped me with door knocking, right? So I'm ready for this response. So he'll do this, and I think it's an awesome thought, and you got a great response. Somebody go, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to talk. You know, they'll answer the door like that. And Ron, one time, he said, will you want to talk to me in heaven? And got a hold of a person's attention, right? Do you want to be around God's people now? Because if you don't want to be around God's people now and you don't want to talk to them about the things of God now, what makes you think you're going to heaven and you'll want to talk to them then? See, you can have similar, but you see, similar won't get you to heaven. And so they asked me, and I said, well, I said, Crossroads is a Disney on ice. If you want, you know, the most spectacular presentation ever, you go to Crossroads. No money spared. But I'm finally convinced of this. What's missing from Crossroads is that you must abandon the old and turn in faith to Christ. The message at Crossroads is you can have Jesus in whatever you want to. Told you I had a friend that, so this God obviously didn't want that recorded, what I said about that. So, well, that's okay. He wanted you to hear it, nobody else. But, I promise you this. What I'm trying to do is, that's the Antichrist that exists today. That'll give you just enough religion to send your soul to hell. And so, the couple that I met with Monday, that I'll meet with again tomorrow, she's a Roman Catholic, and she said before we were done, she said, I do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but she says, I sure do like Crossroads, and now I understand. Because I told her, Crossroads is for disgruntled Catholics, and so you don't have to change anything. You can just change locations, and you can feel good and go straight to hell. Then she said, well, okay, what about the Roman Catholic Church? I said, the Roman Catholic Church is just all about rules and religion and ritual. And so there's a ton of people that just like to follow rules, just like to follow the ritual. And the Roman Catholic Church talks Jesus really well, too. But here's the interesting thing. It's not personal. Many antichrists. Many antichrists existed 2,000 years ago. And I want to tell you this. You better be careful, Baptist churches. Because you got to understand it's a personal relationship. It is Christ and Christ alone. And my concern is how many people sitting in Hope Baptist Church are going to die and go to hell. See, that's my concern. But he says there, he says, you have heard that Antichrist shall come, but he says, even now there are many Antichrists. I want you to tell you this. I'm not, when they ask me that question, I don't trash on Crossroads. I don't trash on the Roman Catholic Church to people. I say, just let me teach you the Bible. But I will tell you this, all religions aren't the same. I want to tell you, the devil loves religion. That's why there's so many religions. And which ones point you to Christ and say you need to turn from the old, you need to turn from your sin and turn in faith to Christ, and he will change your life and he will take control of your life. Is that what you want? Do you understand this? Most people don't want that. Most people want to maintain the world and have heaven too. The Bible I read, you can't have both. So the many antichrists, and I want to help you understand this. You can go to a Baptist church and you can be pummeling your ears and pummeling your mind with many things that are antichrist. What do you listen to? What do you watch? What do you bring into your mind? And so I'm just telling you to be challenged by that, because it can be similar, but I want the real deal. I want Jesus. I'll tell you this. I don't think you can ever go wrong by reading the Bible. I don't think I would ever steer people wrong, and there's going to be questions. That's why we need to be here to answer their questions. I love this, if people go, I go, I just want you to study and read the Bible. They go, I can never understand it. I'll go, well, praise the Lord. That's all I live for. I would love to meet with you to help you understand. I want that response. I want people to tell me, I don't understand it. I hope you want people to say, I don't understand it. Because we are in the last times. I want you to see this. We are in the last times. So what's the message? He then says this, verse 19. You see, if the message 2,000 years ago was not to love the world, do you not think it's more tempting to love the world today? I mean, it is flashier and more convenient and more accessible. And you want the world, boy, you can get it, and you can just have it in your pocket on your phone. I mean, it is so easy and it's so inexpensive. I mean, most sin is free now. See, that'll crush Baptists. We're too cheap to pay for it. I'm not kidding. I can get it free. Well, you never know. You see, here's the reality. I want you to understand this, verse 19. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. And I love this. It is what the Bible speaks about Christians is they will continue in the faith. This doesn't mean if you leave Hope Baptist Church that you're lost. It just means that you're incredibly wrong. No, I just... it's not. You don't have to come to Hope Baptist Church to go to heaven. When it says this, it says they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I ask people all the time when they come to visit our church, I'll say, what are you looking for? Not one time ever has anybody said, I want to look. I want to find Jesus Christ high and lifted up. They name all kinds of programs. I need this, 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 and maybe it's not that many. I don't want to have a lot of programs here. I want our focus to be singular. I'm a little nervous with the busyness that we have this summer. I think it's a good thing. I love camp. It's just good. Our mission trip, it's good. I do not want us to get burnout on busyness. See, Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. You won't burn out in Jesus. But I think I can burn you out as a pastor if I try to manage too much. And I'm not, everything we're doing, I think, is so good. It's so good. And so I want you to delight in it. But as you're sitting there today, I should have said this at the wedding, right? So the wedding, I love this, right? The wedding was super fast, wasn't it? Man, if I'd shut up, it would have been really fast, right? And so I tell people this. And so if you ever want me to marry you, I won't marry you if I don't get to preach the gospel. And I put that straight up front. It's just, I don't need to do marriage ceremonies. It's not like I get up every day and go, oh, I'd love to marry somebody today. I love weddings. Because to me, weddings are just a perfect layup, perfect setup to exalt and declare Jesus Christ. I told him without the gospel message, a normal wedding would last 10 to 12 minutes. I mean, they're super fast, right? But I wish I'd ask folks this at the wedding, because I could see it with some. They're like, I didn't come here to get preached to. And so, you know, it was a little bit different because I was looking through Jacob and Damaris standing there, right? At one time, this would be totally not good. You know, I wanted to go, so I'd have more access to the people, right? But I thought, don't do that. Just, you have no idea what's going through a preacher's mind when he's preaching, right? But I should have asked them at the wedding, how many of you are just wishing I would shut up, get on with the wedding, because you aren't interested in anything I have to say? Let me just tell you, that's a red flag, and that I would identify their heart, and I'll make this statement, that means most likely they're lost. Because I'm going to tell you this, every single person that was saved in that audience, oh, they may not like the way I preach, they may not like my style, they may not like my spirit. But here's what I'm convinced of, every single person, when you hear the gospel and you're truly saved, you're like, oh, it's good. Right? I never get tired of steak. I never get tired of Sour Patch Kids. And now suddenly Sour Patch Kids are in Oreo cookies. And so I've had Oreo cookies left in my office with Sour Patch Kids in them. And it's a winner. I just have to tell you, I was shocked. I didn't expect it. But get back to the message, Steve. I want to ask you this. Do you wish I'd stop rambling? Get on with it so you can get on with what really matters in life. Preachers can be boring. And I'm not all that. But where's your heart? They went out from us because they were not of us. That doesn't mean if you leave Hope Baptist Church, but I will tell you this. If you leave Hope Baptist Church and in due time you don't unite with another church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a red flag for me and it's a great concern. And, okay, there, it's back on again. Okay, it's back on again. And so the devil didn't want that to be heard, the most recent thing I said. Now, the first part, maybe it was the Lord. I don't know. But it is, so they went out from us because they were not of us. Young people all the time. I look at Althea, Erica, Ofrandi, Alex, Junior, Calvin, Caden. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven young people. Do I need to put the battery in there? Okay. Seven young people. Remind me of that. I'll forget. Okay. Seven young people right there. 5 years. Who will leave and walk away from the things of Christ? I would love to believe that all seven of you will be thriving in Christ, loving the Lord, and maybe He takes you to another place. So you don't have to answer. So don't shake your head. Althea's really good at that. She's got it locked in place. So Althea, I want you to ask this in your own heart. Is this for the birds? Erica, I love this. You come on your own. But eventually, you're going to be looked upon to lead. Ofrandi, I loved this on Wednesday. You came and asked me for help and just to take things out of the car. That's good. I just want to ask you this. What if you had no friends here? Are you only coming for friends? Alex, what's in your heart? I love Alex. I mean, I want to see her just thrive in the Lord. I want you to love it. I want you to enjoy it, right? And so because it's not this, it's not misery, right? It's not misery. Junior, I can't wait to go to lunch today. And so all I want. Now, here's the question I'm going to ask, so you can prepare your answer, right? Do you want the way of Christ? And just be dead honest with me, okay? You won't hurt my feelings in any way, shape, or form, and I will love you no matter what, okay? Man, Grant is so terrified that I'm pointing at him, right? It's just left and right of his head. And Grant, is it not Grant? Matthew, would you forgive me? I knew it was Matthew or Grant. I just took a risk, and I was so wrong. So Matthew. All right, North Carolina, I got it down now. Okay. Caden, Kelvin, same thing. I got on Kelvin a couple weeks ago. I got on Kelvin just like I did with you today, Darielli. Got on Kelvin, and, you know, I love it. And Kelvin goes, would you hug me? Because he felt like apparently I wasn't being loving enough, right? And I love that. So I said, I'm going to hug you today, Kelvin. You know, I have to announce it because I'm so terrible at hugging. But seven people in this row, 10 years from now, you should be great servants for Christ. You should be great servants for Christ now. How many of you say, I want nothing to do with this? I can't wait till I make my own decisions. I'm out of here. There's many in this room that 10 years from now, not just that they won't be at Hope Baptist Church, but where will they be? They went out from us because they were not of us. I meet so many people over and over and over again. I knock on their door. They go, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. And I always tell them, I'll say, well, good news, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. They're like, that's so right. They have no idea what's coming. And I'll say, but my concern is, every Christian I know wants to gather with God's people. Why don't you? They're like, hey, look, squirrel. And so I just ask you this. Be honest with your own heart. And it ought to terrify you. They went out from us because they were not of us. They didn't leave us because they were more spiritual. They left because they want nothing to do with it. You understand this? Just examine your own heart. Do you want the way of Christ? Here's what people want today. They want part-time Jesus. You know, just Sunday morning will do for me. But what happens the rest of the week? See, this passage is going to deal with that. I want you to look at this verse, Matthew chapter 13. Let's just read these verses quickly. It's on the screen. I just want to show you this. Talking about the parable of the seed and the sower. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So, you know, goes in one ear and out the other. Verse 20. But he that received the seed, that seed is the word of God, in stony places the same as he that heareth, and anon, or immediately, with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. See, I'm not interested in playing church. I never have been. There's been 100 times that I've wondered, should I have been a part of starting Hope Baptist Church? I'm not interested in just having church people come and sit and do nothing for Jesus Christ. I love where we're at. I really believe most of you are trying. Let me tell you, the heart's desire of a pastor is that you just try. Try to honor Christ and try to reach souls. But let's just see this. And let's look at verse 20. We finally get to the title of the message. This makes you so nervous, whatever time it is right now. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, let me tell you what unction means. Unction is just simply an anointing. But there's a connotation here that there's a zeal associated with. We have an unction. And he says this, look at this. He says, we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. We have an unction that helps us to know all things. Here's what it is. If you're saved today, you have the Holy Spirit that lives within you. And I want to tell you this, he will guide you. And I think I put this verse up there. Let me just show you this. I'm going to go to this verse. Let me see. Where in the world are we going here? Oh, I went the wrong way. That's why. Look at this verse. I didn't put the right verse. Let me just read this verse for you. I don't think I put it in there, did I? Listen to John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come. So it says here that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that was going to be sent specially to come alongside his churches, would guide them into all truth. And it says here, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things, because the Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth. And so I want you to understand that I don't think that means that you're going to know all mathematics, you know, geometry, trigonometry, and all that, but you're going to need to, you'll know all things that matter for the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit will lead you, will teach you, will guide you, will help you know the truth that matters, the truth of God's Word. That's when it says he'll help you know all things. But the unction, I want to ask you this. Do you have an unction? Do you have an anointing? Do you even know where I'm going? Probably not. I want to tell you this. What I love is, he said, it's the Holy Ghost. He says that here, right? Look at this, verse 20. He says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You remember this? So I'm going to suggest to you that the unction, that the work, that the anointing, why did God anoint us? Remember this? When he would anoint a king, he would anoint King David because there was a special work that he had for King David. He would anoint one of the prophets because there was a special work for that specific prophet. The word Messiah, the word Christos, the word Christ, it means the anointed one. Anointed for what? Anointed for a special work of God. So what in the world were we anointed for? I believe we were anointed to be the mouthpieces, to be the ones that go tell the world about Jesus. You know the Great Commission. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. I believe this is given to churches. So churches are the ones that authorize baptism. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. I believe this. Do you remember this? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus told him to wait. Wait. Wait for the what? Wait for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which would be another way of saying the anointing. It was the empowering, the anointing of the Lord's church. And he said, wait. And what did he say? You shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And he said, wait, wait, wait for the anointing, wait for that moment, and then you're going to take the gospel to the world. There's no waiting. We are in the last time. Have we not been talking that this morning? We are in the last time. Do you have an unction? Here's what's happening in the last time. We are seeing many fall away. Remember that? When I read about the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it said there must first be a falling away from the truth. And I want to show you here in this passage that the unction, I want to show you this. He says this, it was written to those who knew the truth. So just so you know, do you have an unction? The unction that is from God, the unction that's from God, the anointing that's from God, the movement that's from God, is that we would take his gospel, we would take his good news, we would declare Jesus Christ to everybody that we meet, and we won't have excuses. He said it was written to those that knew the truth. I'm preaching to you. So you guys are probably like, we know all this. Well, that's what John says. I feel so better in verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and no one is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. So you know this? I'm telling you these things. We're in the last times. I don't think I told you anything new. You know, there are people that will leave the work of God because they were never of us in the first place. Some of them, it sure did look like it. And I will tell you, some of them may very well come back. Not necessarily to Hope Baptist Church. You understand? I'm talking come back to the Lord. You following me? And I've seen that, right? I don't think Tabitha and Adam would mind me telling you this. They've come back to the Lord. And I praise the Lord for that. They couldn't have been a member of Hope Baptist Church for a while in their lives. But you know what? I trust they're saved. I believe they're saved. And they've come back to the Lord. Isn't that good? When you saw this couple come up last week, oh, it was a big deal. And I knew a lot in my heart. And I'm like, oh, God's good. And I know this, true believers will continue. And you'll be miserable when you try to walk away. Guy just talked to me this week. He said, I don't think I'm saved. I said, then quit and stop and just walk away. I loved it. He said, you're a terrible pastor. He was sort of joking. There's an inside joke with that. But you understand this? Can you walk away? I can't. Has nothing to do with my goodness. It's because the Holy Spirit lives within me and I have an unction. I don't think I told you anything new, neither did John. I want to finish with this, but it's maybe not as fast as a finish as you'd like. He said, you know the truth. And then he says, are we living the truth or a lie? And then, how do you know? Let's read verses 22 and 23. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father. Let's read verse 21 again. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Knowing the truth will not save you. Let me say that again. So get ready for this. I just want to see if you can... It's okay if I don't get very many amens. I just want to see if our church agrees with me. If not, I'm going to preach a message next. No, I'm just kidding. But knowing the truth will not save you. Amen? Terrifying, is it not? Christianity is not about knowledge. It's about faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And after we're saved, we do want to grow in the knowledge and faith of Jesus Christ. We want to grow. Knowing the truth is not salvation. It's believing it. So let's look at verse 21 again. I just want to tell you this. I have written unto you because you... I have not written unto you because you don't know the truth, you know not the truth, but because you know it and that no lie is of the truth. What is John then saying? Now he is dealing with this issue that many Jewish people had, that they wanted to separate Jesus from God. They couldn't quite grasp their mind around that Jesus is God himself, the very Son of God is fully God, the Father is God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit's God. They struggled with that, with the Godhead. But he said, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? So I want to ask you this. Nobody in here intellectually, I doubt there's one person in here. If I said, I'll give you $1,000, if you'd be honest and you said, I don't believe that Jesus is the promised one from God, somebody would raise their hand up, give you $1,000. I'm too cheap. But I will tell you, it wouldn't surprise me if no one raised their hand. I believe every person says, see, I don't deny that Jesus is the Christ. It's not intellectually, Lee. I don't deny that Jesus is the Christ. There's probably nobody in here. The word Christ means promised one, anointed one. So let's look at verse 22 again. He says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. I'm going to show you a Bible verse and I'm going to conclude with this. Who do we confess? I want to show you in Matthew chapter 10, just look at these verses. He says, fear not therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Now look at verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I love the context. You understand this? Confession here is not, it's not acknowledgement in your head or even in your heart. What it is if you, it is called denying Jesus Christ. If you never talk about him. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you and you know the truth. If you're saved, you will confess Christ to others. Jeff, I'm going to tell your story if that's okay. Thank you for saying yes. I don't know if that would have mattered. But Jeff came to me. We'd met several times, and I said, are you saved, Jeff? And he goes, that's hard to say. I don't know. I said, well, why would you say that, Jeff? He was looking for some fireworks. A lot of people do, Jeff, okay? So the reason I'm using your story is because you're not alone, okay? I'm not like portraying you as some weirdo, okay? But Jeff goes, I didn't feel anything. But then Jeff began to tell me, he said, Doug's going to come to our Bible study next week. He said, I did get to talk to my wife and told her that I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He said, my daughter didn't respond too well when I talked to her at first. He said, but I think I'll be able to reach her. I still need to talk to my son. I don't want to talk to my other daughter. And then he's got a friend up in Xenia, JV. He said, I'm meeting with him next week, and I need one of these other things, you know, the Mark New Testaments. And I was like, well, I can't know your heart, Jeff. But one of the greatest demonstrations that someone's a believer. I remember I asked you, I said, did you ever tell people about Jesus before you tried to be saved? And he said, I didn't. I said, look, I can't tell you whether you're saved or not. I said, but that's kind of some good evidence for me. I said, the Bible doesn't ask you to find fireworks or a feeling. Oh, man, there it is. I'm a Christian. It is, the Bible says this, he that denieth the Son is a liar. He was writing to them that he said, I know you know the truth. It took me a long time to get here. But here's the reality. I'm telling you, excuses. And here's what God says. He says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men. I want you to understand this. Did Peter deny Jesus 3 times? Is that what it's talking about? It's not. We can have moments where you blow it and you're like, I should have talked to him. But what about the entirety of your life is what it's talking about. It's not talking about if you go like Peter, I do not know him. You're going to hell. No. What it's talking about is the entirety of your life. Is the description of your life somebody that confesses Jesus Christ? I will tell you, it'll also enrich your life. Todd, you know the best way to live and repeat the gospel in your life is be sharing it with other people. Right? You want to ponder, you want to meditate on the gospel, just always share the gospel with everyone that you meet. And then eventually everybody will know, that's the weirdo guy, and they get used to it. So nobody thinks I'm so weird anymore. Maybe they do, they just don't tell me. But here's why I preach this message, because I think it's a big deal. If you first read this, we are in the last times. You have heard of the Antichrist, but I will tell you there are many Antichrists. What is the issue in the 21st century? Why is America falling apart? It's because Christians, or the so-called Christians, aren't telling anybody about Jesus. And so you know what that scares me? That may mean that the so-called Christians aren't Christians at all. And you know what I think that is? That's the falling away. They have something similar to Jesus Christ, but they don't care enough about people. But I'll tell you this, it's not even care. You know this? I don't care about people. I'm just telling you this. Loser. You know why I tell people about Jesus? Because I have an unction. I told you. I told you about Molly. I hope you've had good interaction with Molly. She's probably working today, isn't she? What, you don't know? Well, we're going to work on that. No, I'm just kidding. It is, but it's this. I didn't want to talk to Molly. Wasn't going to talk to Molly on the plane. Didn't want to talk to Molly on the plane. Wasn't going to talk to Molly on the plane. And I wasn't studying 1 John 2:18 or 2:20. And all of a sudden, an unction. It's not because I'm so awesome. There's an unction. And I felt it on my heart. It's like, you need. And so I bargained with God. Don't do that. It's dumb. I said, I'm just going to invite her. I said, I'm going to ask her where she lives. And if she doesn't live, if she's like in the boondocks, I am not inviting her to church. Because I thought, well, Mother's Day, right? And I said, where do you live? And she goes, Hamilton. Do you know where that's at? I said, not a clue. And all of a sudden, I was like, well, okay. So I invited her to come to Mother's Day, and she goes, she said this, she's coming back on vacation. And she goes, well, what else do I have to do tomorrow? I would love to come to church tomorrow. Are you kidding me? I'm like, I'm so sorry, Lord. So then I shared the gospel with her, asked her, I said, have you ever heard that before? She goes, never. And I said, one of our ladies would love to teach you the Bible. And she said this, she said, I've always wished somebody would teach me the Bible. It's not because I'm a great guy. There's an unction. There's an anointing when you're saved. There's a compulsion when you're saved. You cannot live your life and not tell people about Jesus. Oh, you can blow it over and over again. I do all the time. I always say I should have. But I will tell you this. You know why one of the reasons I'm convinced I'm saved? It isn't because I'm such a great guy. Matthew, so I'll make up for it for calling you Grant. And it's not because I'm such a great guy, but you know what I expect to do? I expect to see a compulsion from Jesus Christ, a compulsion that'll say, you know what? Just honor me. Not because I'm afraid about going to hell. A compulsion, Matthew, that says, hey, they need to hear about Jesus. And I'm like, I'm a little busy right now. How many of you have said that? I've said that just all kinds of times, right? I want to tell you this. Here's the key. Do you have an unction? Everybody in this room, they'd probably tell me they're going to heaven. Do you have an unction? Do you have a compulsion? Do you love the things of God? And I know Christians can get on your nerves, me especially. Do you have an unction? Do you have an anointing? Do you have a drive? Do you have something that says, he wants me to tell others about him? Here's how you'll know. Remember, 1 John was written that you might know that you have eternal life. You have an unction. The Holy Spirit lives within you. He will lead you to truth. Because all the excuses that you have, I don't know enough. I can't do this. Here's what he says. Well, if you have an unction and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, he will lead you to know all things. Or guess what he would be? A liar. So are you going to believe God? If you can believe him for your eternal life, believe him that God will use you to tell other people about Jesus. I'll tell you one final story. It's just crazy. I just want to encourage you. I went to breakfast with Ollie and Sarah Castro this past Thursday. And we went to Hyde's, and there was a lady that had been my waitress. And just to be clear, I think I get more spiritual when I'm around Christians. I'm like, oh. I probably should witness to this lady. Not good. Okay, just being honest. All right. And so you guys should just be like, he went to Thornton's and didn't tell anybody about Jesus. If you were there, I'd be like, well, let me give you a track, right? I know. You know what I'm worried about more than I'm worried about what Jesus thinks? I'm worried about what Randall thinks. I wish it wasn't true, Randall, but that's how flaky I am, right? So I was with Ollie and Sarah, and I'm pointing out, I just want to tell you how good God is. I was with Ollie and Sarah in breakfast, and of course I'm going to ask the waitress, and I generally do, is there anything we can pray about? And you know, it was just that I forget what she even said. I should remember. It was for her mother. Her mother's not doing well. And I looked at her and I said, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Are you born again? And she goes, well, I'm working on that. And I go, you know, has anyone ever taught you the Bible? And she goes, no. Quote, I've always wished that somebody would. Well, Carla Kincaid just lives up the road from that restaurant. And Carla's been in touch with that waitress. and they've texted and they have a Bible study scheduled. I tell you this, it's not because your pastor is so awesome. He had to have Ollie and Sarah there so I would act spiritual in front of them. You know what I find? God will use you. But here's the question. Do you have an unction? I haven't told you anything new this morning. But do you have an unction? An anointing? A driving? We're in the last time. There's a great denial. Nobody's telling anybody about Jesus anymore. There's a great denial, but you need to take it personal. Do you have an unction? Do you have a drive? That's one of the greatest reasons you'll know you're saved. Everybody tells me they believe. You don't tell people about Jesus Christ? Red flag. Red flag. The other red flag is you want nothing to do with the ways of God. Crossroads is your speed. I know I'm a little rough on Crossroads. I hate similar but not the same. And I believe thousands are plunging into hell because of similar but not the same. My concern is the 100 people that we have in this room this morning. You believe everything I said. Do you have an unction? Let's pray. Father, I thank